Let's continue reading verses 17 through 28 of Matthew chapter 20. Now, in the second portion of the chapter, we have the Lord's answer concerning rank in the kingdom. Greatness in the kingdom of God is not determined by the world's standards. Matthew chapter 20, beginning now at verse 17. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Once again, let's consider some background notes. We see in verse 17 that the Lord Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem. That is for the last week of his earthly life. The Lord knew what awaited him in Jerusalem, but he did not turn away. The messianic prophecy of Isaiah 50 verse 7 says that he set his face as a flint. That is, as the obedient servant, he was determined to do the Father's will, even though he knew it would involve suffering and death. But he also knew that he would be vindicated by his resurrection. And so the Lord took his disciples aside and explained to them why they were going up to Jerusalem. This was at least the third time that our Lord announced his coming death to his disciples. Look back at Matthew chapter 16. Verses 21 and 22. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." And in Matthew chapter 17, at the Mount of Transfiguration, we read in verse 9, "Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead.'" And of course, the Lord had already announced his death and resurrection with the sign of Jonah. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. The Lord said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." So the point is that the Lord had clearly communicated to his disciples what lay ahead and why they were going up to Jerusalem. But the disciples' thoughts were more about rewards in the kingdom than about our Lord's coming sufferings. Now, at this time, they were somewhere in the Jordan Valley, not too far from Jericho, as we see at the end of this chapter. It was at this point that the mother of James and John came to the Lord and told them that she would like to make a request, verses 20 and 21. Now, whether the mother of James and John was traveling with the extended group of followers and heard the parable of the kingdom about the landowner and laborers that we looked at in the first half of the chapter, or whether she came down from Galilee at this time to join her sons and they told her about the parable, we don't know for sure. But in any case, her request seems to be based on the truth of that parable, that there will be rewards in the coming kingdom. And we know that James and John made their mother make this request because of the parallel account in Mark chapter 10. And notice in verse 24 that the other 10 disciples were uptight with James and John. They probably were having the same selfish thoughts, however. They just didn't voice them. Well, our doctrinal points for this portion of Matthew chapter 20 come from our Lord's answer to James and John and their mother. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, rank in the future kingdom is not determined by present request. Rank in the future kingdom is not determined by present request. Verses 22 and 23. But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." The cup that our Lord was referring to here was his coming suffering. When James and John said that they were able to also drink this cup of suffering, the Lord told them that they would drink this cup of suffering. James, as you know, went on to be martyred for the cause of Christ. We read about this in Acts chapter 12. And John the Apostle was persecuted and exiled to the island of Patmos. Now notice from our Lord's answer that there will be rank in the coming kingdom. Remember that the kingdom here does not refer to heaven, but to the millennial kingdom that our Lord will set up here on this earth at his second coming. So there will be rank in the coming kingdom. If you're a believer here this morning, you will be part of that kingdom, and you will have a rank in that kingdom. But your future rank, and my future rank, our future rank in that glorious kingdom is not determined by present request. Your rank in the kingdom cannot be bought, and it is not won by vote, and it is not granted by prayer request. It has been prepared by the Father. Rank in the future kingdom is not determined by present request. Doctrinal point number two. Rank in the future kingdom is determined by present service. Rank in the future kingdom is determined by present service. The Lord in his answer goes on to show that there is a principle involved in God's determination of rank in the kingdom. That principle was determined in the eternal counsels of God. What is that principle? It is service for the Lord now. Verses 26 and 27 once again. "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." God's standards for determining greatness and rank in the kingdom is not the same as the world's standards. The world determines greatness by who's got the most power and clout, right? Verse 25. "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them.'" Why does the world refer to Alexander the Great and Herod the Great? Is it because they were nice, unselfish rulers? No. They had the power to carry out their wishes and make a name for themselves. How different in God's kingdom. Verses 26 and 27, let's read them again. "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." Let me ask you, do you want to be great in God's eyes? Then serve the Lord by being willing to serve one another. In verse 28, the Lord gives himself as the perfect model to follow. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, it's important to realize the difference between this verse and 1 Timothy 2:6. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, "He gave himself a ransom for all." Here in Matthew 20, verse 28, we read, he gave his life a ransom for many. Is this a contradiction in the Bible? No. It might seem so in the English language, but not in the original Greek language. The preposition for is different in each verse. In 1 Timothy 2:6, it is hooper, meaning on behalf of. He gave himself a ransom on behalf of all. And here in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, it is anti, meaning in place of or instead of. He gave his life a ransom in place of, instead of, in substitution for many. Both are true of the work of Christ on the cross. He gave himself on behalf of all, but he gave himself in place of, or instead of, or in substitution for the many who are saved. This is what we mean by unlimited atonement and limited atonement. The death of Christ on the cross was unlimited in scope and provision, but it is limited in effect and benefits to those who believe. He died on behalf of all, but he died in place of those who believe. His perfect life, which was given as a ransom to redeem mankind from the bondage and slavery and penalty of sin, was sufficient for all mankind, but it is only effective for those who believe. I trust that you're a believer here this morning. The Lord Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, but that payment is only effective for you when you become a believer. Don't wait until it's too late. This wonderful truth of verse 28 is given in the context of our Lord as the supreme example of what it means to serve one another and truly be great. Rank in the future kingdom is determined by present service. Practical application. Mothers, make the right requests for your children. Mothers, make the right requests for your children. Now, we have a number of mothers here this morning, don't we? And I know you pray for your children. What do you pray? What are your requests? I hope your requests are not that your children would become rich and famous. At least the request of the mother of James and John was in the right ballpark. She wanted her sons to be great in Christ's future kingdom. That was certainly better than to request to be rich and famous, right? But it was off target. The bullseye of the target is to desire and request of the Lord that your children grow up to come to know Christ as their Savior and serve the Lord by serving the body of Christ in this life. Mothers, if you make that request, your priorities are right in line with the Word of God, and everything else will fall into its right place. Mothers, make the right requests for your children.